So, Vicky Woucher, the property mermaid, the inhabitant of the abundance zone.
Yes, hello.
So how did you get to that state? How did you get to this state where you were financially free and independent?
Well, before we sort of get into the mindset or the doing of it, basically I invest in property.
Mm-hmm.
And I started off in mid-2008 and I started finding properties for myself, sourcing properties that I could buy at a specific value and rent out so that my money made me money. I basically learnt how to make my money work so that I didn't have to work quite as hard. By early 2010, I'd reached a stage where I had enough properties that technically I didn't have to work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I did scale back a lot in 2010, towards the end of that, and early 2011. But I don't have dogs. I don't particularly like going down the gym. I don't do a lot with my nails or my hair. And I definitely didn't want to watch daytime telly.
Mm-hmm.
And so sort of boredom and edginess set in. The early part of 2010, I'd started to write my books. The first one, Using Other People's Money, How to Invest in Property. So I then started at the end of 2011 to write the second book, which is Make More Money from Property. And what came back up in me was the original teacher. I was a university lecturer up to 2006.
So that's when you were in a job.
When I was in a job.
Working for someone else. Yeah.
Yes, I was a university lecturer. Yeah. And I'd got made redundant mid-2006, gone into personal development, mm-hmm. neuro-linguistic programming, and then eventually into property from that. And so, I'll use the zones to explain how I got there.
In a way, your redundancy then was the kick you needed to get into this new, happy place.
Yes, yes.
It's amazing how many times that happens to people.
I think in all honesty, I was probably in the happy place when I was at university. I've been very fortunate to love, mm-hmm. well, 9 out of 10 jobs that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wasn't was financially free. I was always going to have to work to earn the money.
Mm-hmm.
And by understanding how money works and that property isn't what we think it is, mm-hmm. we all think our home is an asset and actually our home isn't, it's a liability. And once you unattach yourself emotionally from these bricks, you can still love the house, but recognize that the house can work for you. Houses can work for you. Houses can be, in a sense, your mini employees and you manage them.
Mm-hmm.
Then everything just switched. Everything just switched. And as I say, I started investing and then I had so many opportunities come that way round. I set up a sourcing business called the Property Sourcers.
Mm-hmm.
So now what I spend my time doing is buying houses for other people to help them become financially free, to help them make the most of their money, of the equity that they have, the savings that they have, all of that sort of stuff. When I'm not doing that, I'm having conversations with people so that they can get clarity around what their own personal plan might be. And some people might take 6 to 18 months to work towards the stage where they're then ready to invest.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of strategy sessions with people, which is really a way of having a, if you like, a one-to-one class, masterclass on how to manage your own money. And usually what's happened is people have read the books and then they come forward and say, I really want you to help me do this. And we put that in place.
So you can obviously teach them the mechanics of this.
Yes.
So in theory, anybody can do it.
Yes.
So why isn't everyone doing it? Is there a kind of mindset thing?
Yes.
That's kind of key before you can even pick up a book and learn how to do it?
Yes. And I think it all comes back from education. And bear in mind, I'm saying all of this as a former teacher in our education system.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody goes to school and is taught to be an employee. That's it.
Okay.
Even when, with due respect to the teachers that are out there, you're taught entrepreneurial lessons, it's nothing like the real world of being an entrepreneur that you and I would know.
Mm-hmm.
It's the theory of it, and the reality is so different. So the majority, 9.9% of all children that come out, are going to be employees, and they're going to grow up to adults who have been taught to go to work, get a job. When you've got a job, you can then get a mortgage and get a house.
Mm-hmm.
And you're then going to work for the next 40 years of your life to pay off the debt of buying the house. And then at the end of it, you'll be about 65. So whoopee, you can now retire. I'll give you permission. And then you're going to live in this house, which will be too big for you because your kids will have left home. And you won't have to pay a mortgage, so you'll think you're all right. But what you've forgot is how you're going to pay for the gas, the heating, the council tax, how you're going to buy your food. You can't borrow a brick out the wall and take it down to Tesco's. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep paying for this, and we all know the financial state we're in right now. So anybody reliant on a pension, in the traditional form of a pension, all pensions seem to be invested in stocks and shares of some form or other on the stock market. Pensions just aren't worth enough money. So unless you've made proper provision, so what I found was that your pension's not enough, your home is not an asset, mm-hmm. all that you've been taught about property and mortgages is a myth. And that generated the third book, which is called Property for the Next Generation, which then laid in everything that we have been taught at one level through education actually doesn't apply for us. Mm-hmm. But worse, we're now going to compound that by reinforcing it on our children who are also coming through an unchanged education system. Our children are dramatically different from us. They've got these, you know, thumbs that can do things when they're multitasking on their phones and their iPads, and they're going to be running businesses sitting on the beach in Bali or Thailand, and they're going to be doing all sorts of stuff, some of our kids. They're so clever. Some will still be employees, which is fine. But if they're going to have these much, much more mobile lives, if you imagine your grandparents and now think about your kids, they're going to start off, they're going to live where you are because you've brought them up. Then they're going to go off somewhere else to university. They might do a master's. Then they'll go somewhere for a job. They might live in the city for a job. They might meet someone and want to move to the suburbs for a while. Then they may give up on that person and want to go and live in Spain for a little bit. And then they'll come back and they'll settle down and they'll want to be somewhere with a garden. We're all driven down a road that says, don't worry, child. I've bought this house, I own this house outright, I'm going to give it to you. And child's going, I don't want your house. And worse, if you've got two children, they're going to have to sell it anyway because they don't want to live together. Mm-hmm. So we've done everything based on a myth.
So we've created a non-abundant zone type of society, really.
For everybody. Yeah. Especially when you then add in everything is built on debt. Mm. Now that's going to be contradictory because my whole business is built on debt, but there's the difference between good debt and bad debt. Mm-hmm. All of my debt is paid for by somebody else with a profit, and that profit becomes my wages. Mm-hmm. So after all of the costs. So I look for something called a return on investment. I look for my money being invested in a property and giving me anywhere from 10 to 20% net return. So if you imagine you put £100 in a building society, you might at the moment get 1-2%. If you put it in a really, really long term, like 5-year bond, you might get 5%. I can invest it in property and get easily 10 and up to 20%. So that's how much more money I can make my money work for me.
But if you scale this up to the level of the planet, not everyone could do this. You still have to have some people that are doing what you're doing and some people that yes. are effectively renting.
But then that's the way of life, isn't it? Because some people, I don't know if this is too weird, and I'm not sure how much of what I understand of what I'm about to say. Mm-hmm. But I believe we've all got paths and maybe incarnations, if you wanted to use another word for it. We're all on a path, a journey in life. Mm-hmm. And some people are on a path that's over here, and some are on a path over here, and some are here, and some are here. We're all just travelling along. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're doing the best you can on the path that you're on, then that's great. It also helps if you actually know you're on a path and where you're going. Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother conversation. But if we're all doing the best we can, for some people, what they really need in this life is security and routine. And what gives them particularly security and routine might be a job that tells them they have to be in a specific location at a specific time to do a set of specific activities. Mm-hmm. There are other people in jobs that want the security of a job, because actually what they want is the security of the money, but they will talk about how they like variety in their jobs. And so they may have a job where, yes, they do technically start at a set time, but nobody really keeps an eye on them. And their jobs are varied through the day, either in terms of tasks or locations. But that's what they're... So they've maybe moved on another level. And then there are other people who don't want to work at all, and they might be in an ashram, or they might be working for a charity, because money isn't what they're looking for in this period. I just believe that everything we do is a lesson, and we have an opportunity to learn, and you either learn the lesson and you move on to the next lesson, and if you don't master the lesson, then it has this habit of coming up and bumping you on the back of the head. And if it bumps you on the back of the head a few times and you don't pay attention, then it's likely to lay down in the middle of the path and trip you up until you learn the lesson.
And what's the main thing you learnt then from living this abundant life?
That there's plenty. That there is that word abundant. There is plenty. I hear lots of people talk it. I've been to lots of seminars and events where the so-called gurus from the stage will talk about, the abundant life. And then when you actually get closer to them, it's this, I carry with me a marble that is like a mini earth, mm-hmm. to remind me that there's a book, isn't there, where at the end of it, the planet is actually on the collar of a cat.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what book that is. But, who's to say that we're not on the tag of some galactic cat somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
And all right, so then we can prove that wrong because space rockets have been up and it's all silly. But
they could be inside the
cat. Well, they could still, exactly.
And
they
could
still
be on a turtle that's on the back of an elephant.
We could be on a turtle on the back of it. Who's to know? And actually, at the end of it, whatever I say... whoever's listening, you can't prove me right, you can't prove me wrong. When I listen to you, I can't always prove you right, prove you wrong. Sometimes I understand, sometimes I don't understand. But what I am open to understanding is that sometimes there are things that other people understand that I don't, because I haven't learnt that lesson yet. It's not within my ability to consciously understand that. So just accept that maybe you're right. Maybe if we just presuppose that we are on the back of a turtle riding on an elephant, and you understand something I don't, and that is the way life is. My life might be different by being accepting of that thought. And what opportunities might open up to me? And if I believe that the planet is totally abundant, there are resources we need to manage. And we are making a lot of mistakes along the way at a society and global level. But there is actually plenty for everybody. And if we just gave more, shared more with an open heart, then people wouldn't have to suffer. Having said that, there is the, I don't know whether it was an urban myth or one of those stories that comes around in an email about a teacher whose class argued that socialism was the way forward. It had to be a socialist society. So he set them an assignment, didn't tell them. They all wrote the assignment. And then when he marked it, he averaged the score. And the class got an average of 65. And some of the students in the class said, "But I work really hard and I normally get 80. And he said, "Right, well, from now on, we're going to operate in a socialist style society." And of course, there were a few students in the class who never really did all that well, and they would often get a 40. So then he set the second assignment and the average mark came down to 45. And at that point, there starts to be some arguments in the class about, well, you're not pulling your weight, you're not pulling your weight. And then eventually the class did its third assignment and they all failed. And if we carry on in a society that believes it's completely acceptable, I'm getting on the edge of political now, but completely acceptable for one person into society to sit at home and contribute in no way, no tangible way whatsoever, and yet take from the rest of society, we're going to end up like that class, all failing, all arguing, and it being a horrible place.
That's a lovely story. I like that.
Yeah.
So what are the essence, what's the mindset shift to live an abundant life? What sort of qualities do you need?
Well, I think it was when I read The Zone,
okay.
And starting to piece together, like each zone has got its components, mm-hmm. Which resonated. And then the ability to put these together. So, for example, when you wrote the previous book about flavours of thought, I liked the idea of bringing things together in a menu and the zone bringing things together in this super zone. Mm-hmm. The fact that I can draw on certain aspects, ways of thinking, ways of being, and I can bring them together to explain how I am now. And if I'm in a good place, great, then I can look at those components and do more of them. Something's not quite working, I can look and I can go, oh yes, one area is a bit out of kilter. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm in not such a good place, I could use the zones to alter how I am and to change it for a better state. And I know you've got a slide that you're going to show, but for me, it's about performance. At the end of all of this, when I come to the end of my time in this form on this planet, I want to be able to look back, if I get that moment to look back, and go, have I always been the best that I could be? Now, that doesn't, and I'm a tad competitive, that doesn't mean to say come first or beaten you. Mm-hmm. It means, have I always been as loving as I could be? Have I always been as generous as I could be? Have I always worked as efficiently, not hard, as efficiently as I could be? Have I always managed and valued my time well? Mm-hmm. Have I always been as happy as I could be? When opportunities have presented themselves, have I identified them and acted on those and recognised and been grateful for that opportunity to mm-hmm. do whatever that was? Have I been creative when the opportunity came forward? And so that's what I want for my life. And if I get to that point and I can look back and the answer to the question is, have I always been the best that I can be? I will die without regret, knowing that everybody that I have left behind will have enjoyed the time they're with me for whatever it's been, because I might have shared my knowledge through learning. I might have shared my joy through happy. I might have shared my love through the loving zone. I might have shared some creativity with them that's enabled them to spark off and do something. That in my performance, which is really sort of the job side of things maybe, I have done the best job possible. So in the sourcing business, I've helped people identify and buy the best houses, make the best returns, and that's had an abundant influence on their lives. Mm. So all the way around.
So the abundance then isn't just about the abundance of money or wealth, it's about the abundance of love and the abundance of happiness,
yes.
and the abundance of learning,
yes.
the abundance of creativity, and being abundant in your performance as
yes.
well.
Yes, absolutely. It's got to be abundant across.
But yeah. also, do you find that when you just do those things, the financial abundance kind of comes in as a matter of course?
Yes. Yeah. And I would say that it is a component of the zone, the individual zones that does it. I can't quite remember which word it is that you use for it, but it's about the vision, the goal, the purpose. Mm-hmm. Because alongside when I reach the end of my life, I want to know I've done the best I can, mm-hmm. performed the best I can. I want to have fun along the way. And so what does fun for me? I had a series of six words and they're my values. So because I don't always do it so well, because there are so many opportunities, I've made my primary value focus, because mm-hmm. I have to sort of narrow myself down. Otherwise, having said we're all on paths, I'd be on about 17 paths at any one time, which just makes you exhausted. Mm-hmm. It's a lot less exhausting if you just pick one path. You can change it, because you can always put your indicator on and change direction if you want. So focus is my primary, and what I want to focus on is wealth and success, and wealth is more than money, mm-hmm. and success is more than winning. It's actually maybe the word needs to change to be abundance and performance. You know, wealth and success, before I knew your words, would to me be abundance and performance. Mm-hmm. So focus on wealth and success while having fun and adventure with my family and friends and managing my healthy body along the way. Sadly for me, health always seems to come down the bottom, which is probably why my backside is slightly bigger than it should be. And if I were to pull health up the top, I might be slightly less focused, but I might have a slightly smaller bottom. Mm-hmm. But I'm quite happy with the way...
Abundance of another.
Yes, I have abundance in another form. We can always trim back on that abundance. So it's about... I've always worked to those words, those values. And so when we were talking about wealth, it's never really about the cash. Having said that, along that way, my vision at the end of my path where I'm going for me, the metaphor is the mermaid. Because the mermaid is the fact that I like to joke that I am the undiscovered granddaughter of Jacques Cousteau. As a child, I watched the TV programs about Jacques Cousteau exploring the undersea world. There was an immediate resonance for me as a child. I've always loved the water. I was always scuba diving. As soon as I learned how to float, swim, that was it. The first thing I did was put on a mask and a snorkel and promptly duck down because I could see things at the bottom of the sea, and I would duck down and pick things up from the bottom and explore them and then, you know, go and look at something else. And then, of course, eventually I learned how to scuba dive. So the mermaid is me scuba diving. That's it. And I have a blog and everything called The Property Mermaid because I invest in property so that I make my money and my houses work for me so I don't have to. What I choose to do in place is have holidays. And most of the holidays are scuba diving. And I would spend most of my time underwater given half a chance, but as a human I have to come up and breathe. I haven't quite mastered well, you can actually. I could get the tank sent down, but then I would probably be a full-on wrinkly prune. And so I like to scuba dive, and so my life is built around my family, and the fun and adventure that I have is around holidays, exploring the world, learning about things as we go. I told you about last year we went to Sulawesi in Indonesia and learnt about animal behaviour underwater, how the fishes are together and different types of nudibranchs. And it's just fascinating. It's such a gift when you get to see one of these things, or you, for the first time, you see a new species and you've never seen it before. We're so used to cats and dogs and things like that. And then all of a sudden you see this unusual looking creature, and sometimes you're not even sure if it's a life form until it moves, and then you memorize it, or I memorize it so much, rush up to the surface at the end of the dive onto the boat, and I'm out with the book looking it up to see, oh, what's it? I've seen a new fish, or I've just discovered a new nudibranch, which is a form of underwater slug, or anything that I've seen, even sometimes corals and sponges and the vegetation, as it were, that's under there, and thinking how lucky I am to do that, because not everybody can do that. Not everybody can scuba dive. Not everybody can have the holidays. But also being in the right place at the right time. Being, for example, in the Red Sea at the end of Elphinstone at precisely the right depth, at precisely the right moment, in 360 degrees of gloom, turning just to see 8 hammerhead sharks come out of the murk, glide past and disappear back into the murk again. And I was there at the right depth, in the right place, the right day, the right time, and looking in the right direction to just be given that gift of 8 hammerhead. There are people who are professional divers who've never seen one hammerhead, and I saw 8 of them in a shoal, and that's so rare. And how is my life not abundant?
Exactly. And obviously, being there at the right time, being observant, is part of that.
Yes.
So, Vicky, I wish your abundant journey continues and becomes even more abundant. Thank you for sparing the time today on the sofa. And let's hope it's the first of many chats.
Definitely. Thank you. Thank you very much for this opportunity, Tom.
Pleasure.